The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. With a winnowing fork in his hand, he will clear the threshing floor and gather the wheat into his granary, burning the chaff with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Do you remember your baptism? Because I'm a pastor, I remember many baptisms. I remember baptizing Naomi in the Jordan River and nearly drowning, partly because she was taller than I was, and also partly because I don't know how to swim. And if you need reference, see the cover of today's worship bulletin. I also remember baptizing two toddlers in the middle of a wedding ceremony, one his and one hers. It was a holy gathering of people there to support a newly blended, beautiful family. I remember baptizing Hannah, who had been in hospice care since not long after her birth. I baptized her on her 16th birthday in the hospital with water in a pink plastic spit tray that the nurses had provided for us. We were doing the best that we could do with what we had because we thought that this birthday might be Hannah's last day. Hannah, by the way, lived for at least 10 more years, thanks be to God. I remember so many baptisms, but I don't remember my baptism at all. I don't remember mine because I was 6 weeks old. And it feels strange not to remember it, given the importance that baptism has in our Christian life. There is before and there is after baptism. I am a baptized child of God. We affirm this in our liturgy all the time. We remember that we are baptized and set free. We are baptized and grafted into the one body of Christ. We are baptized, and we don't remember it, many of us. So what does that feel like to you? How do you understand your baptism? Or, as some would say, your baptismal identity? If, like me, you were baptized at 6 weeks old, it might feel like nothing more than a cultural marker. Infant baptism could be understood as a moment when we were welcomed into a community which we didn't choose, but which defines us forever in some way. However, if you were baptized later in life, it may have been more of a conscious choice for you. It may have come at a time when you had a strong feeling, an individual yes that you could say, that yes, I want to be a Christian. It may have happened when you were at an age when you were able to make that decision for yourself. And still, it was probably informed by culture and family or life circumstance. River and word, marble baptismal font and word, pottery bowl and word, hospital spit tray and word, however it happened, whenever it happened, God was present in water and in word, and by the grace of God, you were washed and cleansed and welcomed into the global chosen family that we call the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. This we know, this we believe, this we affirm today. Now today the church remembers Jesus' baptism. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River as an adult by his weird friend John. And for sure Jesus remembered that day, not only because he was a grown person, but also because there were lots of people around him. And because scripture tells us that after he was baptized, as he was praying, the heavens were opened, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and then a voice said, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And I think that probably got his attention. Would get my attention. One thing I notice about the story of Jesus' baptism is that most of it is actually not about him at all, but rather about the other people that were there. As we heard today in scripture, it says that the crowd was gathered by the river and they were filled with expectation. Not only that, they were filled with questions. They were a questioning crowd. They were a curious crowd. We know that John was himself a curiosity. He wore funny clothes. He had a strange diet. Apparently he hadn't had a bath in a while and he didn't talk to people very much. And so the crowd was obviously curious and questioning. John said, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." John had a lot to say. Mostly what he said is, "It's not really about me." And that crowd, that curious crowd said, "Okay, yes." They said yes, and they came to the water. They said yes, they wanted to know what else. They said yes, let's go on this journey together. They said yes. And then someone else in the crowd joined them. Someone else said yes, and that one was Jesus. So it makes me wonder, where was Jesus until that moment? Where was Jesus? Scripture doesn't really tell us. I don't think there was a green room in the back where he hung out until the appropriate time for his lines. I don't think Jesus arrived in a horse-drawn chariot for his big watery entrance. Where was Jesus? You know where I think he was? I think he was in the crowd. I think he was in the crowd and he also was questioning. And he was curious and he thought, "What is all of this about?" I'm not of the mind that Jesus was born knowing who he was. Maybe Mary knew. Mary, did you know? But I think, I hope, that when we say Jesus was both fully human and divine, that means that Jesus was a baby and a toddler and a child and a grumpy teenager, just like we were. Jesus was fully human and fully divine. I hope that the incarnation means that Jesus is really one of us. Not just a 3D printed image of us or an AI approximation of us. So when I think of this baptismal story, the story of Jesus' baptism, in light of this understanding that Jesus was fully human, I see him as part of that questioning crowd. Jesus was among the masses who came to see who John was, what he had to say, and what it all meant. And so this is a story, this is a day about Jesus and his baptism, And it is also a story about John, and most of all, I think it's a story about us, about the questioning crowd. It's a story about us, the crowd, the masses, the folks who still have questions. This is a story about how God shows up for us again and again in so many ways, through water, through the word, through our other friends in the crowd who also question, through the prophets who speak for us when we have no words to speak, like now. Like when the world is literally on fire. And when our friends are struggling. And when the nations are raging. And when we don't know who we can trust. This story is about that moment when we can say yes. Yes. Even when we have questions. Even when we don't have it all figured out, even when Jesus did not have it all figured out. We are not baptizing anyone today in this church community, but we are welcoming new members to UniLu today. And the way that we welcome new members in our tradition is to remember our baptisms. To remember who we are and whose we are. We may not have memories of our baptismal days. Some of us may, some of us not, may not. But today, we get to remember, along with Emma and Mark and Sophie, that we are baptized, that we belong to God. We get to remember again who we are and whose we are, along with them. We remember how Jesus, who was part of that questioning crowd, came to the water and said yes, and how God, the Creator, said yes to Jesus. Yes to the journey. Most importantly, on this day, we remember how God has said yes to us. Yes, we belong to God. Yes, we belong to the foundation of all things. Yes, we are not owned by any corporation or administration or app or whatever wants to claim us as their own. We belong to God. I did watch a very important funeral this week. Maybe some of you watched it also. And one of the most moving things that I saw was that the scripture quote was this one: whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And I knew that that person that we were burying this week knew that in his heart. He knew that in his soul. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And that today is what we are gathered to remember. Thanks be to God. Together as one community, together as a growing community, may we live into this truth for the sake of truth, for the sake of God and the world, for the sake of one another. Amen.